Asda has an irresistible new meal deal. Two mains, two sides and a drink for just £10. Choose from a selection of delicious pizza and pasta mains, plus tasty sides like garlic dough balls and onion rings. Get the Asda price feeling. Selected Asda stores and lines subject to availability. May exclude small stores. See asda.com/small stores. Mains £4 each, sides £3, drinks £3 each.
It could be a first-timer, or a long-timer, or a once-in-a-whiler. It could be a little, or a lot. It could be the ticket under your fridge magnet. It could be someone with your first name, and last, and middle. It could be you. This Saturday's £20 million Lotto jackpot must be won. Or thousands of you will win a share of the jackpot. Play on app, online, and in-store. Lotto, from the National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Account terms, rules, and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
John Scott, the All-Star man. John Scott, the family man.
Thank you for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. You know, I always thought I was the rags to riches story, the guy who just, you know, came out of nowhere and made something of myself. And then this guy comes along and just blows my story out of the water. The strangest, I don't know if he's the strangest superstar in the NHL right now, but one of the most unconventional paths to superstardom. Coming out of Norway, 21-year-old kid, a relative nobody. He was terrible. I read the scouting report for Modo for years. Everybody was talking about Modo. Everybody was saying, there's this guy out of Norway. He's very exciting. Christian Forsberg. You want to get him on your team. And then all of a sudden, there's this other guy from Oslo, Norway. Matt Zuccarello. Took the world by storm, and now he's on our show. Matt Zuccarello, thanks for joining us, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Have you ever had anybody do an interview and bring up Christian Forsberg?
No, I was impressed.
Was he your buddy on the team in Moto? Because you're both from Oslo.
Yeah. We grew up together.
All right. Well, Matt's is a little upset. Before we started taping, he brought up how I chirped him in a tweet or an Instagram post. I'm not sure what it was. But Matt's caught wind of it, and he called me out. I said, what'd I say? I said, imagine if Kirill played with somebody, he would have got 60 goals. He has to drag Zuccarello up and down the ice. So I wasn't.
And then I brought Kirill in to confirm that wasn't true.
I know, but does that ever piss you off? Because people say things like that. It's like, oh, Kirill Kaprizov, he's so good. And you are just chopped liver. Do you ever get pissed off? It's like, come on, man. I'm Matt Zuccarello. I led the Rangers in scoring 4 times. I come to Minnesota and we start winning. Does it ever get under your skin?
No. I agree.
So if Kirill's playing with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, how many goals does he get?
He doesn't get the pucks that much.
That's a good answer.
Zero. All right, well, moving on. You're undrafted.
Kirill can play with anyone and gets 50 goals. So.
You think so?
Yeah. I think he's unique. He's such a hard worker, and doesn't matter who he plays with. He can make stuff. He makes me better and people he plays with better. So, obviously, we had some good chemistry, but I think he's probably the most unique player I've ever seen.
And you've played with some unique players. You've played with Rich. Is he standing there staring at you, telling
you?
Yeah,
I left, so now I can be honest.
But in all honesty, though, you've played with some good players. You come right into the New York Rangers. You got Richards. You got, you know, Callahan. You got Gavrik. You got all these high end guys. Derek Stepan. You go to Dallas. They have those guys. What makes him different? Why is he so much better than these? Not so much better, but different.
No. I mean, I play with so many good players, obviously, in New York. Gabby, Richie, like you said. Sibanejad, Kreitz, Steps. In Dallas as well. Sagan and Ben and Radulov and those guys, Klingberg. So there's so many good players that I've been lucky enough to play with, but I just, for me, it's just the chemistry that we have that makes him maybe my number one right now, you know.
Is he a similar type player than you are? Because you're more of a creative type guy. You don't really draw plays up.
Yeah, he's got it all in his head. He's so smart. I don't really do anything. If they tell us on the power play, I ask him where you want to be, and I'll be wherever he doesn't want to be. So I mean, I know that he's the best player. I want him to be in the scoring, and even Harsi too. And when we play together, both of them have better shots than me. So it's more important that they get good opportunities to score.
So we met way back. I think it was what, 2010, 2011, or was it later than that? Around that time.
Yeah.
We were with the New York Rangers. We were Black Aces.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to that time. The Rangers had a good team. What did you think when you're getting Black Ace and you played most of the season, you know, going back and forth between Connecticut with the Rangers, and you were Black Ace? What was that like, a player of your skill, watching a Stu Bickel being rolled out to play guys like that who were just a bum, like just a waste of space, and you're sitting there skating with me, getting bag skated with Steve Eminger and John Scott? What was that?
We had fun. We had more fun, I think.
We might have had a little more fun. We're not going to go into those in-depth stories. But talk about just being a Black Ace guy coming from Norway, jumping into the AHL. Now you're in the NHL watching this team play in the playoffs. When you know, and you and I know, the guys would come off the ice after the games, after a loss, whether it was versus the Devils or I think the Capitals or the Senators, like, why is Zucchi not playing? Was that tough knowing that you should have been on the ice?
I mean, I think every player wants to play.
I didn't want to play. I'll be frank with you. I knew I didn't belong. I was like, I'm good.
Well, most of the player wants to play. but I mean, you're young. You respect the coaches and decision they make. And I mean, obviously, on a selfish part, you want to play and try to help the team. But I think growing up in Norway, when you're young, you come to like a senior team, you learn how to work your way up to the top. You don't speak the first couple of years. You got to earn your way. And I think I looked at it that way, that, well, it's a learning process. I've had it pretty easy up to that, you know, coming from Norway to Sweden. I took that pretty well. It went pretty well, so I didn't really have a tough stretch. So I just took it as, no one goes a whole career without having some tough stretches. So I just figured this is my time to feel that I should have played, but just deal with it. I went to Russia after that year, so that's how well I dealt with it. So
where did you go to Russia?
I went to Magnitogorsk. It was the lockout year, but I played the whole year and then I came back. So
what was more enjoyable, Russia or Norway, playing international, or Sweden because you played with Modo?
I played with Modo. That was fun. I was young, came in, had a really good team, got to play with Peter Forsberg and Marcus Naslund was on the team. So that was a big couple of years for me, experience-wise, coming from small Norway and get to play with your idols growing up. So I had a lot of fun, and obviously it went good for me from day one. So it's easier to have fun when it goes well.
Well, I do want to ask about coming up in Norway. Before we switch gears, just going back to the Rangers thing for a minute. So John has talked many times on the show about being traded, where his first introduction with Torch didn't know he was going to be there, didn't know they had even traded for him, didn't really want him there, so he's skating with the Black Aces. And John has said multiple times, it was like me, a couple other guys, and then Zuccarello stuck out. He did not belong. He belonged up with the team skating with those guys. And so, you know, you mentioned that everyone wants to play. What was your relationship like with Torch? Because he's a polarizing guy. Everyone's kind of up and down with him. What was your relationship?
I mean, obviously, I really like him as a person and a coach. I still talk to him now and then, and some messages back and forth. How are you doing? So even though maybe I didn't play as much as I wanted to, I really respected how he was honest about it. Mm-hmm. He was right into your face, no bullshit. And I respect that, you know. And you get some good stories out of it too, you know, now that when you get older, you appreciate, you learn how to fight for your spot and learn that it's not going to come easy. You know, I think sometimes right now in NHL or in many leagues, a lot of guys get handed it too easily. You know, you get too comfortable. You're coming in, you don't really have to prove yourself. But I take that as, I like it that way. You should prove your way. You should earn your spot. And I liked how he's old school in that. So I really like him. But I have some good stories. I remember one time, I think it was my first year. I was up. We played a game, or maybe my second year, and we won the game. Everyone's buzzing in the locker room. We go into the Knicks locker room, and the Knicks gear was there. So I put on, I think it was Carmelo Anthony's jersey, shorts, his shoes were there, and I was dribbling a basketball. A couple of the guys were there. And the door opens, and I'm like mid-dribble, look to the door, and he's torch. And I don't know if he's going to send me down before, probably, but he's just like looking at me and like, take that shit with you down to Hartford. I got sent down mid-dribble with Carmelo Anthony jersey and shoes on, and I'm like just taking the gear, taking the jersey, everything off, and hey, see you guys, and took my back. And so, I mean, you get good stories out of it, but I really respect how he's straight up with you.
I couldn't, you know, second that enough. Like, the guy did not mix words. He's exactly what you want a head coach to be in a lot of ways, because I've been lied to straight to my face by coaches, GMs, guys like that. Like, oh, you know, we're going to re-sign you. It's great. You're in our plans. And then it's just like you're gone the next day. I remember I don't know if you were skating with us, Zooks. It was during the Black Aces, and it was a long Black Ace run. It must have been like 2 months, because it was a long playoff run.
Yeah, we lost seventh game in the conference final, right?
The Devils, yeah. Zajac in overtime or something. But yeah. I know we went seven games with Ottawa, seven games with Washington, and it was a lot. And we got our room moved because the Zoo was in town, and we were like, underneath the Madison Square Garden in some random room where you had to walk a mile to get to the rink. We were nowhere near the main team.
Yeah.
And the new guys from Hartford came in, because I think they lost in the playoffs, and they were walking into the dressing room, and I'm going, welcome to hell, boys. This place sucks so bad. And Torts is so small. He walks in right behind, I think it was like Dylan McElrath or something. I'm like, welcome to hell, boys. You're going to hate it. And Torts is like, oh, yeah? Like, are you serious? I'm like, dang it, Torts. Like, he was right there. And there's so many stories like that where.
Well, didn't you play that song in Washington one time? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
I just blared it. We had a good time. The thing with being a scratch is you have to have fun, right? You talk about, you know, earning your stripes and, you know, knowing your place. What do you say to the young kids now? Because you're the old guy on the team. Like, I'm looking at the roster now. It's you and Gully. Yeah. And I don't think Gully talks too much. Are you vocal to the young guys? Like, even a guy like Kirill who comes in, do you take him under your arm a little bit and try to teach him the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're trying to do the best you can. I say I get a lot of players in Norway and stuff, like, telling me how to become good players. So I think you just have to find your own way. For me, the biggest thing is to respect the elders and respect the system. Don't expect stuff to get given to you. You got to earn it. And yeah. I like that way, you know. So I think that's the most important thing. And on the ice, do your thing. You're there for a reason. So just learn how to cope with the mental part of it.
What do you think about all these, and I know maybe you can't give an honest answer, but about all these kids coming off their ELCs just getting insane amounts of money? Like, when you see a guy getting an eight-year contract for $90 million and he's 23 years old, does that just blow your mind?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, some players have earned it, you know. But I'm for guys getting paid, you know. We're playing a lot of games, a lot of mental stress on you. It's a full year long. You got to be ready all the time, work out. And so I'm 100% for that. But if I was a GM, I don't know if I would give a 23-year-old that amount. You know, I feel like you gotta. In New York, we had a good system. Like, you have a good year, so you get that bridge deal, and then you can earn your big, big pay ticket. But it's a new NHL. The NHL is changing, getting younger. So you just have to deal with it and accept it, you know.
You're just like, where was my deal when I was 25? I was leading the Rangers in scoring?
Well, I got 1 year that year. So 1 year deal.
Just the 1 year. Yeah. Well, let's talk about this year and last year. Then we'll bounce around a little bit. I know you're busy. Well, the guys are on the road. You got lots of time. We can be here all day, Zooks. Yeah, like, yeah. We got lots of time. You're like, no, get me out of here. So I don't want to touch on the playoffs too much, but one of the things that stood out to me was you bring in Fleury.
Yeah.
Controversy. What's going on? Talbot, he wants to play. Obviously, he's your starter. You bring in Fleury. What was it like in the room? What was it? An issue at all, or was it just a non-issue that the media was blowing up?
There was no issue. I think we were lucky. We had two really good goalies. We just played a better team, to be honest. St. Louis was a better team over seven games than we were. So no controversy, and we had a really good room. So the media, whatever you read there, doesn't that's false, at least. So we had a really good room, and boys were fired up and excited. But sometimes you gotta be honest and say we lost to a better team that year. So
I love that. Gives you a little motivation for this coming year.
I'm Peter Crouch from That Peter Crouch Podcast, and that's Chris Stark, who joins me every week to discuss what it's really like to be a footballer. And we're here thanks to Peloton.
Peloton are helping me on my fitness journey throughout our series of the pod.
How's it going, Chris?
Well, I'm starting with the beginner's classes. All in all, Crouchy, I'm just trying to find my feet with it all.
Yes, and you can start your fitness journey with Chris.
Come join me. If you fancy it, download the Peloton app to try unlimited Peloton classes free for 30 days, or you can visit the website onepeloton.co.uk.
New app members only, $12.99 a month after trial unless cancelled. Cancel any time before the free trial ends, and the full terms are at onepeloton.co.uk/app.
A million pounds.
Is this a wind-up? It has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
All right. Quick break from the interview from Matt Zuccarello. Just want to encourage everybody to go to DoorDash, especially when you're hungry. Fire it up on your phone, your app, your computer, wherever you're on your internet. Get DoorDash up there. Use promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in Minneapolis watching Matt Zuccarello play at the Xcel Energy Center, anywhere in the continental United States. If you're in Canada, it's just GlovesDD. You get 25% off free delivery. Use DoorDash. Tell them we sent you. Get yourself some food. Save some money. It's a win-win, everybody. Back to the interview. Cheers. So what do you do this summer then? What do you do in your summers to get ready for the season? You're 35 now. Do you stay in the States? Do you go back to Norway? What's your training regimen like?
Back to Norway. Had a surgery and then recover and then get ready for the season, you know. You get older, you kind of figure out what you need and know a little bit more what to do and what not to do. But it's the same as when you're 20. You're anxious coming in, feeling that you hadn't done enough, and then he's skating with these young kids here in before camp starts, and everyone's flying over everywhere, and you're just like, holy shit, I can't even. This is going to be a tough year. So it's the same feeling every year, and which I like, is then you keeps you on the edge a little bit, you know. So I go back, spend my summers in Oslo. Just have a trainer there that I had for many years, and practice with my kids team where I grew up, the senior team there. So same thing.
You talk to Billy at all and say, Billy, listen, I'm good for one preseason game and that's it. Give me one or two. That's all you need. Does he give you that kind of leverage, you and Golly or Spurgeon, those the older veteran guys?
No, I don't think so. I'm scared to talk to Billy like that. You know,
he's going to trade you. He doesn't care about telling people they're going to get traded. I saw he's the best GM I've ever seen. He just doesn't give two craps about what he says. So how many games are you going to play this preseason? I'm sure the Wild have, what, six or seven lined up?
I think we have. This is the first time I've been part of a team that has seven, at least in my eyes. So I honestly don't know. I had surgery this summer, so I'm still working on coming back 100%. But if it's three, if it's four. Last year I played four, so we'll see.
Or zero.
Or that would be, I like to get a couple in just to get the timing in, you know.
When you're a guy who's going to be a healthy scratch most of the year, you play seven. And your hamstrings are just dying, and you're just waiting for camp to end so you can be a healthy scratch again finally. It's so funny.
Well, I'm old enough now that if that happens, I'll put him up. I'll hang him up.
If you get healthy scratch, you're going to retire?
No. But if it goes the whole season like that, I think I'm rethinking.
I just to put this in perspective, I played 9.5 years in the NHL. I only played 296 games.
Yeah.
So if you times 9 by 82, I should have played in 700 some games. So I healthy scratched way more than I played.
That means that you're strong mentally, you know?
No, physically. No. I worked out like an animal. I was in such good shape.
I've seen it in the shower. Nothing's big on you in the shower.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. Oh, that's funny. All right, Tim, ask a question here.
Yeah, I do want to ask about, you know, growing up. for the fans in North America that don't know Norway at all, and like, what is hockey like there? Is it growing? Have you been part of like it becoming more popular in recent years? Do you see more guys making the jump to the NHL? Because there's not really any, or not very many. So what's that like?
I mean, we have maybe 20, 30 rinks in the whole country, maybe one, maybe two with ice all summer. So it's not like it's a big sport. It's growing a little bit, I hope, but it's still not enough ice time, not enough rinks to actually take the next step, I believe. So there's a lot of work to do for us to be able to take the next step. They care more about cross-country skiing and soccer and all that stuff back home. So hockey's a little hanging a little after those. But no, I think as a national team, we've been in the A group for 15 years plus maybe, which I think is an accomplishment for the guys who's been playing there with little resources and no ice, no rinks. So I think with the equipment we have, I think we're have done a really good job creating a lot of players that have either been in the NHL for a little bit or in Sweden, in Russia. So I think the players, my generation and a little bit older had, was really good. So, Still, I'm not really sure how the new generation is going to be, but hopefully it's going to be better than us.
It'd be nice if they had like a guy who was an NHL vet to invest some money into the program or to like just give it a boost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like someone who played in the league for a long time who has that face value. Is there? Can you think of somebody like that?
I have my own charity. I hate helping kids get into all sports. So,
no, just one sport.
I just told you, if I didn't have that bridge deal, I could have done it. I had like four or five bridge deals, so that kind of fucked me up a little bit.
You were the one who invented the bridge deal. The GM was like, we'll get you on the next one, Mats, for sure. Not this one.
Four or five bridge deals in a row, and I fell for it every time.
But your team was so good. You guys won so many Stanley Cups. All right. What else, Tim? What do you want to talk about?
Well, you mentioned that you're 35, but you feel young, and you just had your best season ever at 34 years old. Like, how much of that do you attribute to, like, your workout regimen? Is it opportunity? Is it chemistry with guys like Kaprizov? Like, what made that work so well last year?
I think I feel like I'm in good shape. I feel young in the head. I think that's the most important thing. And obviously, the team played really good, and you're only as good as a team play. And when the team goes well, you're playing better. Obviously, clicking last year with Hartsy and Carell helped a lot, all of us, you know. So, yeah, no, I feel good. I think the most important thing is I still think it's fun to come to the rink, play games, and playing all those games. And I think the day I don't feel all that's fun anymore, I think it's time to stop playing. So as long as it's fun, I'm enjoying coming to the rink every day, having fun with the guys, practicing and all that. So just enjoying it.
Is that what makes you a fan favorite? Because literally every team you go to, you step on the ice, the bazooks, zook. It's just like deafening. Every city you go to, every team you go to. Or is it just because you're small?
I was just going to say that. I think it helps that I'm 5 feet, and they probably feel sorry for me. It's more of that.
I do. You're 5'7". Yeah. Maybe that's what your playing card says. You're probably 5'5".
On a good day, I'm 5'7½".
And you're about 190 pounds, so you are thicker. Like you're a fairly stocky guy. But what is that? Is that just your personality? Your fans love you just because you're just Matt Zuccarello?
I don't know. I have no idea. You got to ask them.
In New York, you used to wear these dumb yellow jackets with the short shorts and the white socks pulled up. I thought it looked ugly, but everybody thought you looked handsome. Why could you do that and I couldn't? Tell me.
I don't know. It's a European style, you know. People are not used to it over here, so they find it interesting, you know.
What's the biggest difference? I played in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I played in, you know, Manhattan. What's the difference? The biggest difference? You spent a lot of time in Minnesota. You spent a lot of time in New York.
Yeah.
What's better about being in Minnesota?
I think New York, I was in my 20s, obviously. I don't think you can get a better city to live your 20s in. And living there downtown and searching opportunities on a Tuesday night or a Monday night or a Sunday night was fun, you know, in the 20s.
For dinner, right? For dinner.
For dinner, yeah. Dinner spots. So I think I got the best of both worlds. I got a little older. Came here to Minnesota, which, you know, before we get here, I played away games here. And you go to St. Paul, you live in that old hotel, so you really don't really know Minnesota well. So I knew the hockey was good, was big here. That's my big priority when I want to sign here, that state of hockey. I like when the town and everyone around cares about the team, and then you get that excitement. But it's beautiful here too, outside of the city, around in the city, everywhere. So I'm really enjoying my life here. I had great 10 years in New York. Really appreciate everyone there, the fans and people you got to know there. And the same here. I'm starting to get to know a lot of people outside and really enjoying my life here in Minnesota. So I like to think that I got the best of both worlds.
I think you did too, Matt. You really did. You really are just really lucky. Blessed. Yes. I'm still thinking about that shower comment. I'm like, you son of a bitch. All right. So you mentioned leaving New York. You were there for 10 years. A little bit of a rocky departure when they traded you. Could have maybe gone better. I was doing a little research for this interview. I saw Henrik Lundqvist talking about you being traded. He was just crying, couldn't even answer the question. Two-part question. Is it hard to see someone crying because you're leaving? Like, well, good friend, obviously. Was that difficult knowing that you affected him that much, like in a good way? And then the second part of the question, did you not know you were going to get traded? Because they were just ditching everybody. Like, they traded everybody in New York that year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw that with Hank, and obviously I felt the same way. You know, he had been there as a friend of mine since day one, speaking Swedish and get to know his family really well, his kids and wife, and just almost felt a part of the family there. And so that was really emotional for sure. I think it really didn't really hit me until I kind of knew I was getting traded. But you never know for sure. But they were playing an away game and they told me to stay back and said, like you're gonna happen tonight, and you get the call and say you gotta be in Chicago tomorrow morning. You're playing against the Blackhawks for Dallas, and then you right away just pack your bag, and then you're gone from a place that you've been almost 10 years. But I got a great start in Dallas. Obviously, I broke my arm, but I really enjoyed Dallas. The team there, they had we had a really good team. Great teammates and everything. So I don't think it really hit me until the summer that, whoa, I'm not going back there, you know. You didn't really have time to be emotional right away. You get right into it, and new team, new family, and really enjoyed my time there. And then the summer comes, and that's when it was a little tough for me that summer, you know. But it's a part of the business, obviously, but it's a part that no one really likes unless you want to get traded. But I think you go and you're kind of feeling when you're there that I'm going to spend the rest of my career here. I really enjoy it here. I have a great time. It kind of felt like you're home, and then boom, a couple of minutes, you're gone. So it was tough that summer to really accept and like, well, I'm not going back. Where am I going? And then I got to great opportunity to come here in Minnesota, and took me a little while to get into, you know. You had your place in New York, almost the older guys there because they shipped everyone away, and then coming here with an older team, take some time to find your spot. Great guys here, but I got to know them, they have to get to know me, you know. And so it took some time, but I don't regret it, you know. I really enjoy Minnesota and had 3 great years here, and then hopefully many more.
Now, I was a little honored. I'm not going to lie. It kind of took me by surprise. When you signed in Minnesota, do you know the last player who wore number 36?
Yeah, that's why I took it.
I was honored. I was a little put off that I didn't get a call if you could ask me to wear number 36. Well, but
why do you think I'm on the show?
Are you going to formally ask me if you can wear that number and I can give you an answer?
No, I just did it. You know, I don't think I've been on any show or media thing, but I said, this guy, I took his number. He's been a big part of my career. I learned a lot from him. So I'm going to give, if he asks it for me, I'm all yours, you know.
Is there, Tim, take it away. That's
a good one. We don't get that many guys, at least not recently, that have played on a team with John. So I always like asking this question. If someone asked, like, what's it like to be a teammate with John, or what's a good John Scott story, what would you say?
Ooh. No, I think we, the one when Torres came in the room, I remember, and the one we're racing into early in Washington when we were a healthy scratch and we had a morning practice, and I think it was an optional, and obviously we went on. We're coming back into the locker room, that there was a meeting right after, and John put on full volume, put me in coach, I'm ready to play, and everyone's just dying. Torres coming in says, turn up, yeah. and all of the nice dinners, you know, we had some really fun time. We had a good group there that didn't play a lot, so we became good friends those 2-3 months there and had a really good time.
That's what I'll remember. Just we go for a team dinner, the team would leave, and then the guys who wouldn't play, we would stick around and we'd have a couple bottles of wine.
Yeah.
And we'd just kind of hang out. That was a blast. I remember one time, I think it was in New York where we did that, and Doobie was hurt.
Yeah.
And he stuck around, and then we put all the bottles on his tab. Yeah. He got so pissed. He came to me the next day. He's like, "You owe me a couple $100. Who put the?" I was like, "I don't know, Doobie. I don't know what you're talking about." He was so mad that we. I think we had like 4 or 5 bottles of wine, but was he upset?
He would get mad too.
He did. Then I think he tried to get Kaser, who was the team PR guy, to pay for it. It was really funny.
Yeah,
that's too good. But anyways, I don't want to take up any more of your time. How camp's good? Minnesota Wild, yeah. Stanley Cup this year. Is that the trajectory?
Well, that's a goal.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Matt Zuccarello. Go tell Kirill he can come in the room again. You guys can go back and jump in the hot tub or the sauna. I don't know. But anyways, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Matt Zuccarello, everybody.
Delivered by DoorDash.
With monthly TV costs creeping up, it's time to break away from contracts and dive into a world of free entertainment. Get over 170 channels and all your streaming favorites, where you're free to pause, record, and rewind live TV. Order today and live life free at freesat.co.uk.
Satellite dish and installation fees may apply. T&Cs apply. See freesat.co.uk for details.
It could be a first-timer, or a long-timer, or a once-in-a-whiler. It could be a little, or a lot. It could be the ticket under your fridge magnet. It could be someone with your first name, and last, and middle. It could be you. This Saturday's £20 million Lotto jackpot must be won. Or thousands of you will win a share of the jackpot. Play on app, online, and in-store. Lotto, from the National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Account terms, rules, and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.